Welcome, foolish mortals.
Time to be turning around. If only you could.
Cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
What's holding you up? Let's get on with the show. We can't hang around here all day.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
There's no turning back now.
This is the greatest show!
Now it's time for the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with your hosts, Michael Hurley and Gary Aruda.
That's right, this is the WDW Beyond the Gates episode number 329, recorded from the D. Fauntleroy Studios in Kent County, Rhode Island in sunny Southwest Florida. I'm your host, Gary, joined, as always, by my co-host and my cousin, Mike, down in Florida. How are you doing today, Michael?
I'm doing okay. How you doing, buddy?
Not too bad. Good. Not too bad up here in Kent County, Rhode Island.
Kent County.
Comes back to the same thing we talked about. Even the counties sound worse up here, don't they?
Yep.
Kent County or Manatee County. Where would you rather hang out?
Manatee.
Yeah. Osceola County or what? Providence County or...
Osceola,
yeah.
Orange. Orange is a great county.
Orange is a good county. Washington County doesn't sound too bad.
It's not too bad.
Not terrible. But, yeah, just in general, not the best. I think it has a lot to do, I was thinking about it, is, like, up in New England, a lot of it's the old British, like, just hard British words. And down south, it's more Spanish, so you get the more, I don't know, exotic-sounding things. And then there's
a lot... You put some thought into this, huh?
I did. I was thinking about it. There's a lot of Indian in both, though. Native American, excuse me. Like Narragansett, and then you get Tallahassee, and I think even Osceola, that's an Indian tribe, isn't it?
Sounds like it, doesn't it?
I'm pretty sure it is, but regardless, we're here talking our usual nonsense to begin the episode. How's the weather down there?
It's been setting records.
According to Facebook, it was 190 degrees, according to somebody that we saw.
Oh, wow.
Wasn't
no,
it?
I think
isn't
that quite that high.
110, yeah.
They said today it set a record at Tampa Airport.
Oh, really? What was it?
99, the official temperature.
Because it never gets as hot as you think it does in Florida.
No.
It's just the heat index is always very hot because the humidity is always high.
Correct.
And the sun is very strong, like you said.
The sun is very strong.
So it always feels very oppressive, I guess is the word.
Because we had nothing on the radar, and I was out in the pool, and then I looked, and it started getting cloudy, so I got out, started drying off, laying on the Chase Lounge, and it started to drizzle a little bit, so I took all my stuff and put it in the underhang of the lanai,
mm-hmm.
And then I heard some clappers, so I said, I'm going to go in. So I put the news on, and they said that these things just popped up. There was nothing on radar.
And they just came, just because it's so hot, yeah.
They just said it's this two sea breezes clash. That's why you get those crazy thunderstorms.
Hmm.
So you get the Gulf and the Atlantic, and they all start going east and west.
Interesting.
And that's why Central Florida and that I-4 corridor is like the lightning capital of the world, because they all kind of meet over that way.
Hmm. Makes sense to me.
Yep.
What else is new?
Nothing, really.
No.
No.
Not much up here. My pool's currently under repair right now.
Oh, no. What happened?
The liner sprung a big leak, and it lost a lot of water. And so
enough to like where you could see it in the yard?
No, but it all went like underneath the porch. Like, you couldn't see it. That was the problem. And then...
Did you notice for a few days, though, that you were losing quite a bit of water?
Oh, quite a bit. It's down like to about a foot in there right now.
Oh, my God. You lost the entire...
Yeah. So I had, on Saturday, we had people over, and it got
you
like...
You want to show the house off, and you're going to use the pool.
Well,
yeah.
So Friday, I put the hose in to, like, just fill it back up, and then...
So how much did you lose last Friday? Just enough to, like, you were like, something's not
a couple
right.
inches, yeah. It was, like, down more than I thought, but it was hot and dry, so I said maybe it's evaporation, but I didn't think so. It got like just down below the skimmer, and I filled it back up, and then throughout the course of the day Saturday, it was like nice halfway up the skimmer where it should be, but the hose was in it basically all day, but people were swimming and everything. And so we took the hose out Saturday night before we went to bed, and woke up Sunday morning, and it was back underneath the skimmer again. I said, oh, boy.
And it was a filter running?
Yeah, it was running.
Because what time do you run that?
I run it overnight, so it was running dry. Not for too long, I don't think, that it was running dry, but...
Why do you run it overnight?
I don't know. I just set the timer. I guess I should do it during the day.
You're supposed to run it during the day.
I don't know. I don't know anything about pools.
Oh, yeah, you should... Well, yeah, you should run it over during the day, they said, because of the sun.
Oh, okay.
They said the sun is what kind of breaks up the...
The chlorine and everything?
Yeah, yeah.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yep. I run mine 8 to 4.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll keep that noted if I ever have a pool again this summer.
Have you gone online? Do you have any idea what this is going to cost?
So I have.
Be too much.
Well, I had a guy come out to try to find the leak, and so he came
to see if he could just patch it.
Yeah. So he came out and did a couple patches. Then I had the hose in it for 24 hours, and it rose up like 3 inches. I said that doesn't seem right. So I think it's still a small leak. So then finally today, I called the pool place I've been going to, and they do some service and install. So they're going to put a new liner in, brand new liner. Just going to start fresh. That's going to be about $1,100 installed.
Yeah,
$500 for the liner and then $600 for the installation.
Yeah, that you might as well. I mean, for that, it's a pain in the butt, but you don't want to dink around and then
I'm not doing
in
it.
Another month you lose, because you only got a couple months.
Well, that's the problem, though. They're like, oh, probably 3 weeks. I'm like, well, I don't really have a choice, so.
Oh, you're not going to get it now for 3 weeks?
Yeah. I mean, they're just so backed up. Pools are crazy this year because of everyone being home, you know.
Oh, sure, yeah, that makes sense.
All the pool companies said this is like the craziest year they've ever had. But anyway, so that's my pool story. I didn't want to tell you in chat. I wanted to spring this on you on the podcast.
And how's the chemicals been going? You've been
good. It's been so good. Like that's the biggest bummer
because it was just perfect. The temperature was perfect.
Temperature was perfect. It was a hot week too. This would have been a nice week to have the pool. It was like in
and
the
your kids
high
like
80s,
it, so it's
they love it. Yeah.
So yeah, that sucks. Like if they didn't like it, then it would be one thing. But
right.
That's something that you get to do with the family.
Yeah, and they love it. And you know, even this weekend's going to be pretty warm. I'm not working tomorrow, so I would have been like all day pool day. But now it's got no water in it. So, oh well. What are you going to do? And then I'm off. Like I have a week vacation the week after 4th of July, and I don't think it's going to be up and running by then. Maybe if we're lucky, we'll get an appointment that week because they said definitely not before 4th of July. So maybe it'll be during that week.
Yeah, but then
we got to fill it.
How long is it going to take to get to room temperature now?
Well, I don't really care about that at that point. It won't take that long.
Yeah, but it's going to take 2 or 3 days for the chemicals.
That's true.
To work through.
Yeah, but I think you could swim like in fresh water.
Yeah, you probably can. It's like 50. It's going to be like 54 degrees.
That's true.
Tap water.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? They also said they can deliver the water, and it would be 2 loads, and it would be $600. That seems like a lot. I think the city water would be less money than that, I would think.
I'm trying to think, because you actually have more gallons than I do.
Yeah.
Actually, I should look, because we get to write it off. I have that. I can tell you what it cost me down here.
To fill it?
It was actually several $100.
I'm sure.
To fill it.
My thought is, if it cost me $100 to fill, I'll take the time. If it costs me $400 and it ends up being an extra $200 to have somebody come fill it, then they
can do it in
an hour.
How long did they say it would take?
I don't. It said 2 truckloads, so I'm guessing it would be in 3 or 4 hours. I can't imagine it would take that long to fill it. I don't know how that goes.
Yeah, because when we did ours with the hose, it was pretty much 24 hours. Like we started during the day, and the tech said, "I said, do I have to check on?" He said, "No." He goes, "Go to bed and let it run all night and then check on it in the morning."
Yeah.
So it's a good 24 hours to fill a pool.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you got to figure if you're doing 5 gallons per minute and 5 times 60, that's what, 300 gallons per hour times 24, you're at 6,000 gallons in 24 hours. That's low though, 5 gallons per minute. You're probably closer to 7 or 8.
Yeah, mine was 24 to 36, so it took a long time.
Oh, yeah, it takes a long time. So if I can get it done you know, if it's going to cost me the same, I'd rather just have the company
or even
fill
just
it.
A couple. Yeah, even yeah.
Yeah, cuz
yeah, I'll let you know cuz I do have the water bill.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I don't know enough. Plus, I already going to have a big water bill from trying to keep it filled while it was leaking.
Yeah, that does suck.
Throwing money away. Literally just pissing it down the drain.
Well, I told you the time that good thing we have that ours was low back in early this year, so I ran it.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to shut it off.
Oh, the backwash or whatever?
No, I went to bed.
Oh, the water, the yeah.
And luckily we have that runoff.
Mm.
And we re-landscaped our property after the pool was installed, the landscaper put in a drain to go out to the
retention pond.
To go out to the pond, because the first big rainstorm we got, that thing just backed up and it just started, there was just mud all over the bushes. And he's like, yeah, this will, you know, if we get a decent rainstorm, this thing's going to be all over your hedges and the chlorine's going to kill it. So it was like $400 or $500, but it's beautiful. It runs right out to the pond.
Nice. So you had, even though it overflowed, it didn't flood anything because it was draining.
Knock on wood, because then you have another, you have to do redundancy, so if it does overfill, it won't flood the house because then there's a drainage runoff there, too, that
between
goes out to
pool
both.
And the house, yeah.
And the house, yeah.
That makes sense.
So, yeah, so you have to, but, you know, we got our bill, and Kristen's like, do we do anything? I'm like, why? She's like, our utility bill's like $140 more than it was last month. Like, something's wrong. I don't know what the hell, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know what? I go, I forgot to shut the water off. I said the water ran for like an extra 8 hours. I said, that's got to be what it was. So, that's really pissing money down the drain.
Yeah.
Pun intended. I mean, that's stuff that really upsets you.
Yeah, that's not good. I mean, at least I know my bill's going to be ridiculous because I've been trying to chase my tail on this thing.
Yeah, right.
So, oh, well. Such is the life of home ownership, isn't it, Bill?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was at Ace today buying some more tools. I'm, like, looking at all my stuff from my lawn, and it's stuff that I never even thought I would ever purchase in my life.
And you have a postage stamp, especially with the lanai in the pool. Like, you don't have a ton of grass.
No, I don't. No, it takes me 35, 40 minutes to cut.
That's not bad. Even that seems like a little, but you have a lot of turns. It's small.
Yeah,
it's
more of the turns, yeah.
Yeah, especially the front, like, that's so small, but it probably takes long just because you can't just...
Yeah, the fronts. I hate cutting the front.
Yeah. And then you got a lot of trimming to do. A lot of bushes and planters
and
things
edging,
like
yeah.
that. Yeah. All right. Well, that being said, would you like to hear about my unofficial beer sponsor of the week this week?
Billy, I would love to, Billy.
Okay. This is a Narragansett Dells Lemonade collaboration. This is Rhode Island Hard Tea. So it's not a beer. It's a malt beverage with tea and natural flavors. 5% alcohol by volume, 1 pint. This is a hard tea, so it tastes like iced tea with a little bit of lemon. Alcoholic. One sip, everybody knows the rule. 16-ounce can. It's yellow. It's got the Dell's Lemonade logo on it, the Narragansett logo. Slightly carbonated. Good tea flavor. I don't taste any of the alcohol. Oh, the can even says slightly carbonated. Oh, that's funny. This is good. I like this a lot. Very, it reminds me of the cans of tea you get, like the cheap ones, like the Lipton's or whatever. You ever get like the 20-ounce bottle of Lipton's iced tea at the convenience store or anything like that?
No. No.
It's like that. It's a little sugary, a little sweet. It's good, though. I'm going to give it a 7.3.
7.3. Good rating.
Good score.
Good rating.
My only downfall with this is because it's so sweet, I don't think I could drink several. This is like
it's not a session beer, is it, Billy?
Well, it would be considered that because it's a low alcohol content.
Correct.
But the sweetness of it, it's too filling, too cloyingly sweet. But it'd be a good one to pour over some ice. Put in a Tervis tumbler and sit out by the pool with a little sipper of it. I drink almost everything out of my Tervis tumblers now. They're fantastic.
You like Tervis tumblers?
Oh, they're so good. Do you like them?
The only thing I don't like is when you get that water and condensation that gets built up in
inside,
there sometimes.
Yeah.
And it gets like that fog.
Mm. That's true. Mine haven't gotten that way yet. I think the older they get, they start, that vacuum seal breaks a little bit. But I know what you're talking about. I do know what you're referring to. On that note, should we take our break here?
Yeah, let's take our first break, Bill.
All right. This is episode number 329 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. And coming off of our episode last week with our top five overall attractions at Walt Disney World, this week we are going to discuss our top five attractions for sentimental reasons. So the main difference is these aren't ones that necessarily you're dying to go on every time, but you just have really fond memories of them. Is that the kind of the nutshell version of what we're doing here?
Sure is.
So, for instance, this isn't one for me, but let's say I want to do a one that neither of us would pick. So, let's say It's Tough to Be a Bug in Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
Was where you met your girlfriend, who's now your wife. That might be a sentimental favorite, even though you don't go on it when you go to Animal Kingdom anymore. It's mm-hmm. a very random example, but that's kind of the point, correct, of this episode here?
Yep.
Okay, good. And with that being said, I think I'm going to make a change on the fly because I just thought of something that I did not think of earlier. And it's not Tough to Be a Bug, though. I am going to change out one thing, but that's okay. All right, we're good to go. Should we just, without further ado, should we get into our list, or is there anything you want to add here as a preamble?
No.
You're good to go?
Yep.
All right.
But these are pretty much things that I like to go on every time I go to the parks.
See, mine, that's not a qualifier, but it's not going to disqualify it if it's one that I haven't been
Absolutely.
On a lot
yes.
or something
yep.
that I don't look forward to going on. So you want to go first, or would you like me to go first?
It doesn't matter. You tell me.
I'll go first.
You'll go first. All right.
So my first one, my number five, is Peter Pan's Flight. Now, this is an attraction I've probably been on three times, maybe four
wow.
ever. But it was Jurgina's first ride at Disney World. So that was the first one we went on when on her first trip when she was just a year old. And so that'll always be hold a place in my heart because it was her first ride. And that's part of the sentimentality we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's I'll always remember that. And every time we walk by it, will tell her that was the first ride you ever went on. You know, even when she's a teenager or older and just like remind her of it, embarrass her about it, whatever, you know, what dads are wont to do. And then, so that'll always hold a soft spot in my heart.
That's a good choice.
Well, thank you, sir. What's your number five?
This is going to blow you away.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular.
Now, I'm not blown away, but I would not have thought of it for you. But once you said it, I'm like, you always talk about it. You always, it reminds you of going with our grandfather, doesn't it?
Correct. That was his first trip to Disney right after his wife passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And Hollywood Studios or MGM like blew him away. Like it was like, wow, like that backstage tour and Indiana Jones. I mean, it's an old attraction. We're talking 30 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, now it's obviously dated, but every time I go on it, it's just perfect. And I used to always go with my parents and then my mom when we went on our trips together. So it's just one of those things that I just always gravitate towards.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, we didn't go with our, like, my family didn't go with Frank Sr.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it would have been a ball to go with them, especially when he was, because when was that, in the mid-80s? 89. 89, that's right, because that's when his wife died. So 89, so I...
She passed away, like, what, Thanksgiving or so? Yeah, Thanksgiving. So we went summer 89.
So, but he would have been, what, 70, 75 at that point?
Yeah.
Around
yeah,
there? Would, cause he was,
you would think was older, but he went on Space Mountain with me. He went to Disney Springs by himself and got a little schnookered. I mean, oh, yeah. he had a grand old time.
He always was younger than his age, though,
wasn't
he?
Totally. Oh, yeah.
Even right to the end, he never was infirmed or sick. He was living on his own. I mean,
drove himself everywhere.
What a way to go. That's, you know, I pray and hope that I can, you know, go out the way he went out.
Still hitting the sauce in your early 80s?
Yeah. Living sure, by himself, right? Walking around the mall, loving life.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah, he was a great man. But yeah, that's a good reason. You gotta love the Indiana Jones, and that's one I haven't even been to.
I know, that's crazy. You always tell me that.
I gotta hold some things out there as things that are new to me still. I remember the last, maybe not last time, maybe two trips ago, I finally went on Astro Orbiter for the first time, and it was fantastic. I loved it.
It is fantastic, but the wait time is just miserable. Mm.
Totally
seems
agreed.
Like you're in line forever.
And there's like three people in front of you, and it just goes so slow.
Yeah, and then they put like one person on the elevator. Yeah. You think you're, and then you're like, nope,
sorry.
And then the next one opens up, noob. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, that's
here?
A tough one to wait, but I'm glad I did it that one time anyway. All right, you ready for my number four, sir?
Eagerly anticipating it, Billy.
Okay, so because when you have kids, you can't pick a favorite. I have two kids, so my number four is your Gina Jr.'s first ride, which I have no problem putting this on my list anyway. It's Living with the Land. That was her first ride in Epcot when we went with her. And so that one was close to making my list independent of that, but with mm-hmm. it being her first ride, that pushed it over the edge because I just love that ride. It's one that I go on every time I'm in that park. You know, whether it's with, you know, the gentleman's trip, with yep. my family, with you, yep. with just my wife, with my daughters, it's going to happen every time. So I have memories with everyone, like, close to me, especially Disney people, you know, all my family, big Disney people, and then, you know, the friends we've made through Disney. Like, it's the ride that I think I've been on with probably the most people.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And it's fantastic, so.
It is fantastic.
And you're Gina Jr.'s first, so that's an easy selection for my top five.
Okay.
How about you? What's your number four?
Number four is Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, okay.
That I mean, because that's just old school, and I have memories of being a little kid and going on that with my parents. And you just, the way the water smells, the queue.
You get nostalgic just for that. Like, more than the ride itself, everything else surrounding it. Gives
it just
nostalgia.
Clicks when you're waiting in line. It just things just start clicking. Oh, I remember back in '84 when I went here, and you just sing that song for the rest of the. Mm-hmm. We used to always go on for some reason at night. I don't know why, but
because it does make a difference because it's an inside ride, so you can go anytime and still have that feel.
Yep.
I love Pirates, and that could have easily made my list. It did not. I could have done just top five that. I like because going on with my daughters and it would have been enough. So I tried to just limit it a little bit with those, but that's a great one. Both my daughters love it. And then again, the smells of just waiting in the queue and that musty smell in the queue, everything, even the gift shop after you always try on like the pirate hat and the hook and everything. You take the pictures in the gift shop. So you got Pirates as your number four. Should we move on to my number three?
Yeah, let's go to your number three.
So this was my late addition because I didn't think of it, and then it just kind of popped in my head. And this is just a classic. This is probably the same reason you just picked Pirates is why I'm picking the Country Bear Jamboree. Just there's certain like feelings you get going in there. Again, I've been with a lot of people, like with you guys, with just my parents, with just my sisters, with just my wife and my kids. And it's just every time. It's stupid. It makes me laugh. I know all the songs. I love all the animatronics. It's so cheesy, but it's so quintessential Disney. It's just, it had to make my sentimental list. I love it.
It is a good attraction.
And it's one that, like, when you go by, that you don't necessarily say, oh, I got to get in there to check out Country Bear. Like, you could skip it on it. Like, if you go to Magic Kingdom twice in the same trip, you're not going to probably see it twice. Even, like, if you know you're coming back in 6 months, you might say, I'll see it next time. But every time you go in, you just get that nostalgia just washes over you. And that's why it snuck into my list.
Yep, I agree.
What's your number three, sir?
My number three, Billy, is the Grand Fiesta Tour starring the Three Caballeros.
Oh, very nice.
Yes.
I didn't think that would make your list because you loved the older version better.
But it's still there. And it's the same ride.
That's true.
It's the same track. It's just themed differently. But it still gives me that feeling when you're coming out, when you first load and you're looking over the restaurant, like that's the only thing that hasn't changed.
That's true, with the pyramid and everything.
It's just
perfect.
Again, being a kid, first time at Epcot, just the smell, everything. And I do like that attraction. I like the original one.
Yeah, the original one you like better, but the new version's still pretty good.
It's good, yes. Yep, they didn't ruin it.
They did not completely ruin it, no. And plus, like you said, and I kind of don't take this because I wasn't really there as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But think about if you're like an 8-year-old kid walking into the Mexican pavilion for the first time.
Yeah.
And seeing like how it's nighttime, there's a festival, and then you get on the boat ride and you go by the, it's just like the coolest thing.
It's still cool.
I still love it, and I still like get excited every time I go in that pavilion.
But when you're younger, you're right, because that was by far my favorite pavilion.
Sure.
And it's since changed just because of different restaurants and different things that I'm interested in. But like that was just, like you said, you walk in, you're like, wow, this is cool, man.
Like, how do they do this? It's like just totally transports you.
Right.
All right, so what do we...
And I always want somebody to throw me a piece of bread.
That would be nice, a couple chips.
Wouldn't that be nice if somebody hooked up, like, buttered it for you?
I don't think they do bread there, though. Don't they do chips and salsa instead of bread service?
That's going to be hard. That's going to be hard to get.
You got
to,
like, float the whole plate out there.
Yeah, you probably would have to float it out.
Which would be tough. Speaking of floating, my number two, this was inspired by you, Bill. My number two, Sentimental. And this is just probably the ride that I've had the most laughs on. Or surrounding, is the Collie River Rapids.
Really?
Yes. I thought you'd be shocked that it made my list.
Completely shocked.
But just like, I'm just thinking back to when we went, when I was visiting Mary, and we all went on, and then we like were nailing the people from the bridge.
That's perfect,
after we got
isn't
soaked,
it?
And then when we went with like Schaefer and Doug, and we were just busting chops the whole time in the line, and I don't know, it's just such a fun ride to experience with people.
Yes, it is.
And especially like because you like it so much that it rubbed off on me, but now I have such good memories of it because of that. Like, yeah, this is like totally, because you don't know if you're going to get soaked, and you're kind of like, it's a shared experience even with the other people on the raft, even if you don't know them. It's like, who's going to get it this time? And if you get a good group of people on the raft, you can kind of bust chops the whole way.
And the great thing too is if you have a large party, somebody's getting hammered in your group, which makes it even better.
Exactly. So that's why it made my list. So I think I was not surprised that you were surprised, but it snuck onto my list. Definitely got up there.
Because you at first weren't really fond of that.
It wasn't. I never disliked it. It was just one that I'm probably not going to go on if it's just me and Sarah, or just like me and one of my sisters or something, just two people. But in a group of like 3, 4 or more, that's when it gets really fun. Yeah,
good choice.
Thank you.
Good choice. Threw me for a loop. Number two is Living with the Land.
Nice.
I mean, it could have been number one, but I mean, it's up there. That's go on it all the time. That's me and Kristen. That was my dad's favorite.
Oh, that was, I didn't know that.
That was his favorite. Because he, I mean, he took care of his grass. His grass was the best in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was always out there putzing around. So he and he had a beautiful garden too.
Mm.
Used to grow a lot of vegetables. So he was really into that.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
And he was just fascinated every time we went on it. I mean, like he was, that was like his thing. Like me and my mom might be talking and stuff, and he was just like listening to the guide and loved it.
And that's the thing I figured you would love, because he used to have the live narrator on it and everything.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's not as good, but it's still great. It's still one of the best.
It's still great.
Ones, yeah.
It's fantastic.
Again, they didn't really ruin it that much, taking the person off. It was better with the live person, but they kept the essence, and that's the most important thing.
Correct.
They didn't completely ruin it.
No. They just saved a few bucks.
Yeah.
Which is what they're pretty much into.
Yep. All right, so we're already ready for number one?
We're ready for number one.
My number one, we're going to harken back to last week's episode. And you may remember this as your number one. It is the Carousel of Progress. Number one sentimental attraction in all of Walt Disney World for me. It embodies what we're talking about, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
In this episode. It's just, I have great memories. It's just, historically, it means a lot. Just based on the backstory of it, the music. Again, like you said with the pirates, you just stuck singing the song all day, which is not a problem. I mean, it's really just the perfect nostalgia, sentimental attraction, and there was no way it wasn't going to be my number one. I started with that and worked backwards, so the number one was the easiest for me on this one.
You know, that's one of those that, like, if you're not going to edit tonight, when we're done with the podcast, if you could snap your finger and go on that attraction, you probably would.
Mm, yeah.
That's one, like, you know what, I'm gonna grab a beer and I'm gonna do the Carousel of Progress before I go to bed.
That would be fantastic. Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It just never gets old.
No, no, exactly. And like I'm the idiot. Like you see people sometimes you go in and you know people are using it as a little break to cool off a little, which is fine. I have no problem with that. But they'll be talking, not loud. Like it doesn't usually bother me. But they'll be talking to each other or they'll be looking at their phones. I'm sitting there like on the edge of my seat like an idiot.
Yeah.
Just like staring at it like, oh, I can't wait for the next scene. It's going to be 4th of July, isn't it? Like, it's like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I still love it.
Oh, I love it. Now I'm gonna YouTube it.
Yeah,
tonight.
It's a good YouTube one too. That's the thing with that ride that's so great is you don't miss a lot by YouTubing it.
No, no, no.
I mean, you miss like the dirty seats that are worn out a little bit and the, you know, the sounds, but other than that, yeah, it's just so good. So my number one.
I like the sound when the stage is rotating.
That's what I meant by the sound, yeah. Like the rotation of the stage. Ah, yeah.
I love that sound.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's your number one, sir?
Well, we are going to stay at the Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
And my number one, and this is one that made both lists.
Ooh.
Is Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Wow. I'm actually surprised by this.
Why is that?
I didn't know it was like such a sentimental one for you.
Here's the thing. My dad wasn't a thrill ride person.
Mm-hmm.
So he always sat out Space Mountain and he just didn't like that. But he loved Thunder Mountain. And we did that all the time. I was telling Kristen on one of our walks. I said, I remember one night, it was toward the end of the night. And we had like, it was a walk on.
Yeah,
and we kept just walking on. He's like, you want to go on again? There's nobody in line. Yeah, let's do it again. And then we got off and we look and we still got 15 minutes. He's like, you want to go again? There's nobody in line. Yeah, I think we rode it like 4 times in a row.
Right at the end of the night, yeah.
Right at the end. It was fantastic. And you walk through that queue and the music just brings you back to being 12. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Like nothing has changed.
No,
they
not really.
Not changed.
They added
much
a couple little effects to it, but other than that, they didn't really.
It's just
they didn't mess with
perfect.
It or anything. Yeah. Now, did Diane ever do the roller coasters?
She did Big Thunder Mountain too.
Yeah.
She didn't do Space Mountain. I did that just with Frank Senior. I went by myself. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. She wasn't a huge roller coaster, but for
she
some
wasn't
reason,
a big ride. Like she didn't really care about the rides overall, right?
No, I mean, like she loved like. All the classics, like she loved
all the boat rides
Pirates,
and, stuff like
and
that,
she loved Haunted Mansion, and
hmm. But I know she just loved being there. She didn't really care about kind of necessarily like, the attraction. She just would like to go there and be there.
And just be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially as she got older. Like, she definitely just loved just being there. And, like, she always said she just loved shopping there.
Yeah, we went on Big Thunder, and it was going to rain or something. She's like, I'm just going to go meet me on Main Street. I'm just going to go walk through the shops.
Mm.
All right.
Yeah. That's why it's so great. There's something for everybody.
There's something for everybody.
It's a beautiful thing. So are we going to check out the social media now? Do you have Susie's list in front of you?
I think she posted on Instagram.
Oh, did she? All right. Mm-hmm. Well, the doc gave me her list. You want to hear about her top five sentimental?
Yeah, I do.
All right. In no particular order, Small World made her list.
That was on my honorable mention. Yeah.
Living with the Land. So that's okay. Good. We're in simpatico there. The teacups, which is a surprise because she refuses to go on them now because it makes her motion sick. But when she was a kid, she went on it with her parents. Like
we talked about.
The People Mover. And then Journey into Imagination with Figment. Probably more towards the older version.
But older version when she was a kid.
But still, the new version still gets her sentimental for going when she was a kid and doing the whole, all the stuff afterwards and, all that good stuff. So that was her top five list.
Those are good.
Yep. So let's see what Susie has here. She has Peter Pan, which was also on her regular list.
Mm-hmm.
Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
Small World.
Okay.
California Screamin', which is in Disneyland, California, isn't it?
California Adventure. I told her that was okay. She said, can I put that? I said, yeah, you can. Right, that was.
I wouldn't have given the dispensation, but you gave the blessing.
That was fine. A thing that we did on our honeymoon. That's so
fine. All right, fine. And then the Tower of Terror also made her list.
I'll ask her about that one.
I'm a little surprised those are sentimental for her. But not. I mean, she went when she was a little older, too. So that might have been like the stuff she did with her siblings and things like that. Right, she didn't go as a young kid, correct?
Yes, went once by her, like with just her parents and then once with her siblings.
Right, but she was a teenager.
When she was like 13.
Yeah, so that might have been more why those, because those are the things you would probably want to do as a teenager by yourself, like the Tower of Terror and stuff like that.
That wasn't around.
Oh, it wasn't at that point?
No, that wasn't an original, that's a whole different land. That wasn't there when I was a teenager.
That's true, I wasn't even thinking
that. That and Rock and Roller Coaster, those are
relatively new, yeah. I didn't even consider that aspect of it.
It might actually be going on, like, with your family. I'll have to, I bet that's what it is.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Because we've had so many fun times going on that with your family.
Yeah, because my parents love that one.
Love that.
And my sisters, too, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of those things that we always would do as a group.
Mm-hmm. And it is more fun like that.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm trying to find our Instagram post. It's not coming up. Here we go. Anyone else comment? No, Schaefer the Weasel sent it in the Facebook. Do you have anything else up, or do you want me to pull it up here?
No, I have nothing up.
All right, so Schaefer put in no particular order, Country Bear Jamboree, because he said his dad loved Big Al. Dumbo for riding it with his...
I love Big Al, too. I always wanted Big Al stuffed animal.
Yeah, that's a great one. Dumbo for riding it with his son and his wife watching the fireworks. Big Thunder... Haunted Mansion, and then Grand Fiesta Tour. And he says he loves riding that with a margarita in his resort refillable mug like a Weasley. You're not supposed to bring alcoholic drinks on those. I have to wag my finger. And then Doug's top five, Doug Willing, Big Thunder, Expedition Everest, The Jungle Cruise, Toy Story Midway Mania, and Space Mountain. We didn't get any reasons on that one, but still. At least we got the list. I don't know if we have any other ones.
We're lucky we got the list.
Yeah, we're lucky we even got the list. And then I don't think anything else really came through on that, but we got a few responses there. So do you want to hit our second break here, and then we'll do some honorable mentions?
Sure.
All right, we'll be right back.
Thank you. there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. When it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow.
All right, back for break. This is episode number 329 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with Mike and Gary. We just got through listing our top five sentimental attractions at Walt Disney World. So not necessarily our favorites, but our top five for sentimental reasons. So what else do you have? What didn't make the cut that was close?
What didn't make the cut that would have was Dumbo. I have a picture of me and my mom when
That's
I was
a little
kid.
That's a fantastic picture. I love that picture.
Isn't that a great picture?
It really is, yeah.
Because Kristen even said, she's like, we gotta try to blow that up and frame it and put it in the Disney.
Now, room. I assume Bill took the picture, right?
Yep.
That's nice. That's a pretty good picture, like old school film. Like he probably had like a disposable Kodak camera that he winded.
Yeah.
You know, that's a pretty good one.
He had to wait 3 months to get developed.
Yeah.
The reason it didn't make my list is because I don't remember that moment.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, no, I gotcha.
Like I still go on it just because it's like, oh, that's like that picture that my dad took me and my mom, but I'm trying to think what else. Absolutely Small World.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like Small World?
I do. I do like it a lot. Both my girls like it. It's my mom's favorite ride, so it does hold a good place in my heart for those reasons.
I love that. Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Haunted Mansion. Yeah, that's about it.
So I have Jungle Cruise on my for sentimental, just because the jokes are so corny, and you know how my dad is going on.
Ah,
he
loses
it. Yeah, it's incredible. Dumbo again, going on it with my daughters. I guess I could have probably picked that in my top five and just combined them instead of having their first rides, but I like the first rides being on there for them. And then the Frozen one in Epcot. Because both my daughters talk about that ride nonstop, even to this day.
Do they really?
They both love it. Yeah, I mean, that's the reason they built the thing. I mean, they knew their demographic. I just wish it wasn't in Epcot, but they love that ride. So if it makes them that happy, it's going to be in my top, at least in the just outside the top five of sentimental ones.
If we could have met halfway, I wish they just kept that Norway movie.
Because
I was that one person who just stopped and watched it while everybody runs out of there.
Hey, hold on. Movie's going on.
I watch that once in a while on YouTube.
Oh, that's a good one on YouTube.
Do you ever watch it? Have you watched? Do you watch
no,
it?
No, but I'm saying that's a good one to find on YouTube.
Ah, it's perfect. It's like 1986. Like the clothing's beautiful.
I mean, YouTube is, you know, they talk about, sometimes you'll read like things about what was the greatest invention of the 19th century, and they're like toothpaste or the polio vaccine. The greatest adventure of the 21st century has to be YouTube.
I love YouTube.
Just like the collection of everything. Like, you can find anything at your fingertips, any media. Like, it's almost shocking when you can't find something. It's like, what was that episode of Perfect Strangers where they went to the Cubs game and he caught a foul ball in his beer and you just, like, put it on YouTube and you could find the 30-second clip of it. Did you like Perfect Strangers? No, I'm not on YouTube right now.
No, are you on YouTube every single day?
Yeah. Yeah, all the time. Different things, too. Not just Disney stuff. Like, now I'm watching, like, pool videos.
I've been there. Yeah, I do that.
I'm following, like, these pool care people. And then there's so much stupid stuff on there that you just get caught in these, like... Like, I told you a few weeks ago, I was in, like, a kick of watching old Johnny Carson episodes
that.
Just the stuff so good on there. Anyway, so anything else that we need to add here? Should we just run through our social media?
We can run through our social media, Billy.
Speaking of YouTube, anything in the hopper for our old YouTube page?
It's not old.
No, I mean
anything a couple weeks.
I meant our old like I was saying it like it's, you know, our old, you know, their old YouTube page. So nothing necessarily on tap. We'll get something out there.
Yeah, very.
It's tough,
I'm working on Yacht Club.
Oh, good.
Got some Yacht Club stuff.
Now, it is tough because, one, you're probably not, like, in the mindset as much with the parks being closed and everything like that, and you're not
right.
getting new material. So I know you still have a trove of stuff, but...
Yeah, but it's not like...
You're not, like, motivated to do it necessarily.
The problem is when I put stuff up is that that's when we get the more followers.
Yeah, so you want to try.
So I gotta keep hammering.
Yeah. So you can go to YouTube.com, search for WDW Beyond the Gates and subscribe there. You can go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, anywhere you can find podcasts. We should be there if you search WDW Beyond the Gates. Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at WDWBTG. Our website is WDWBTG.com. You can email us info@WDWBTG.com, Gary@WDWBTG.com, and Mike@WDWBTG.com. Anything else?
No, you took care of everything.
I got it all. Nailed it.
Killed it.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to episode number 329 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with Mike and Gary. For my co-host Mike, my name is Gary. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Oh, hang on. Yeah, I'm sorry. Hey, Bill?
Yes.
Hey, Bill?
Yes, I'm here.
So, yes, stand by. I just got a call from Kristen that
okay.
I locked her out of the house.
Oh, okay.
She was out in the pool, so we'll just keep recording.
Okay, keep recording.
You might be able to cut and paste that and put it toward the end. This is Eric.
Hey, he's back.
That's pretty stupid, isn't it?
That is dumb.
Why is she calling me? She told her I was recording, but she's in the house. What the hell's going on?
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. MIC.
See you real soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? Because we like you.
M-O-R-E.